Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We began looking at the Journal of Discourses last week, and we ended on Friday giving a very brief overview of Volume 1. The question we have for our Latter-day Saint friends is this: would you feel comfortable living in a 19th century context of Mormonism? Would you really be comfortable living under the guidance of men such as Brigham Young or John Taylor or Orson Pratt? Because while we find many modern Latter-day Saints who love their church, love the structure, many of them love the doctrine, we find that many of them are very ignorant ignorant of what their leaders have actually taught in the past. In other words, would a modern Latter-day Saint be comfortable living in a 19th century Mormon environment? So this is why looking at the Journal of Discourses is so important, because we get, compacted within 26 volumes, various sermons from the leadership during that time. Most of the sermons that were put in the journal, as we discussed last week, they come from the mouth of Brigham Young, probably one of the most powerful leaders the Mormon church has ever had.
Well, yeah, there were 1,438 total sermons in those 26 volumes. 390 were his. So we're talking about a fifth of everything was, actually more than that, were found from the mouth of Brigham Young.
And what we find interesting is that even though a lot of these leaders, such as Brigham Young and Taylor, made some very outlandish statements, we don't find the leadership specifically denouncing a whole lot of them. In fact, I can't think of any right off the bat that they've actually denounced, except perhaps when Spencer Kimball referred to the Adam God doctrine as a false doctrine. But he didn't refer to Brigham Young as a false prophet, and he called it a theory. And this is what we want to get across to you, because what we want to do for the next several shows is go through some of the various editions of the Journal of Discourses, showing what these leaders taught on important issues. And we have them all topical. We're going to take about 12 of them.
It's going to be a number. I'm excited about this series that we're doing, Bill. I was interested in looking up a lot of the things that were talked about in the Journal of Discourses. You have done the homework. Been writing in your Journal of Discourses at the very front of each of the volumes whenever you found a gem. And so what I did is I spent many hours going through those quotes and looking them up and finding out who said them and summarizing them in a sentence or less, and then putting them together so we could make this show up. But you have done a lot of research. This is 4 decades of research that we're going to be utilizing in these next couple of weeks.
Well, last week we mentioned a statement by Stephen Robinson, who was a BYU professor, where he said, "During my lifetime, and especially during the last decade, the instructions to members have consistently run along these lines. Never mind the Journal of Discourses. Return to the scriptures. Stick to the standard works." Now, this was a quote that is found in the book, How Wide the Divide.
Why would he say that?
That's an excellent question. Why would he say that? And this was said in 1997. So on page 68 of the book, How Wide the Divide, if you want to look it up. When you start going through the Journal of Discourses and you start looking at some of the things that these leaders said, I can see exactly why a Mormon like Stephen Robinson would encourage his fellow members not to look at the Journal of Discourses. They're disturbing. They are really disturbing. But yet, these are supposed to be the inspired teachings of the leadership during that particular time. That's why we're asking the question of our LDS listeners: would you feel comfortable living in a 19th century environment? Now, I know there are some out there that say, Well, you shouldn't be bringing up the past. I know Robert Millet doesn't like us looking at Mormon history. Well, of course they don't want us to look at Mormon history. Because when you compare what was taught in the past with what Mormons believe now, many times there isn't a sync there, all right? They are not in sync. There's a difference there. Not always. Sometimes we find perfect harmony between what was taught in the 19th century and what's being taught now. But obviously, a lot of the statements that Mormon leaders made in the past are very disturbing, and I think they're disturbing even for members of the LDS Church, if they just knew they were there.
Well, and we have to also understand that many of the leaders back then considered this to be an authoritative source, and even after the journals were compiled, I'm looking here at a conference report from October 1905 on page 21. Hiram Max Smith said, referring to the Latter-day Saints, they have the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, which contains the Word of God, the Book of Mormon, the DNC, and the Pearl of Great Price. They have the Journal of Discourses, also periodicals, books, and papers, which are published from time to time, containing the discourses and inspired words of the servants of the Lord. All these they have, and all they need do, if they have the desire, is to open the books and there read the Word of the Lord. So in 1905, here's a guy speaking at conference saying,
Hiram Max Smith.
It's a big name.
He's certainly not agreeing with Stephen Robinson.
Not at all.
He is looking at the journal as including inspired teachings from Mormon leaders. And that's really how it was looked upon for many years after the fact. We quoted last week an advertisement in the church news for the Journal of Discourses that came out in 1963. 1963, the church was still encouraging its members to get a set of the Journal of Discourses. But now Dr. Robinson wants us to just ignore them. He is saying that the mandate now is just ignore them, get back to the scriptures. And we are asking why? Why? If these men are really inspired of God, why would you have to do that? Why would these things have to be changed over the years if what they were teaching is really coming forth from what Mormons have often referred to as eternal law? I think one of the reasons, of course, is obvious. It will disturb members of the LDS Church when they see what their leaders have taught in the past. And as I mentioned, a lot of Mormons don't know what was taught in the past. They don't own a set of Journal of Discourses. Most Mormons do not own a set.
Well, they're very expensive.
Very expensive. They don't own them. They've not read them. And what they do read from the journal in, let's say, a church manual is, of course, going to be something that the Mormon Church agrees with today, which is probably very benign in many cases. But the more radical stuff, of course, has been ignored.
If you're somebody who wants to look and see what the journals have to say, you can go online. There are sites out there that have the entire journals. And you can also go on our website. We have the article up that's going to be talking about the actual quotes we're using on the show. So if you wanted to find out the sources, where these places are, we have given a full list for all the shows that we're going to do. It's going to be found at mrm.org/journalgems, one word, journal, G-E-M-S, journal gems.
And you will find this article on our homepage, so if you just want to go to mrm.org. One of the things that the Mormon Church has never backed off on is the idea that salvation can only be found in the Mormon Church. And certainly you will find Mormon leaders in the Journal of Discourses emphasizing this over and over. Now, they don't just say that they are the only true church, which obviously means that if you're not a part of the Mormon Church, your church must be false. That statement that they believe that they're the only true church is still being repeated over and over again today. But they were much more colorful in the language back then as they are now. And for instance, when we have in Volume 2, Brigham Young made a statement in February 18, 1855, and the statement can be found on page 179 of Volume 2. What did Brigham Young say there?
He said, "We ask where Christ's church is. My conclusive answer is, if the Latter-day Saints do not constitute the kingdom of God on the earth, the Church of Jesus Christ, it is nowhere to be found upon it." Now, he also said, years later, in 1868, March 29th, in Volume 12, page 173, Brigham Young declared, "We declare it to all the inhabitants of the earth, from the valleys to the tops of these mountains, that we are the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." Not a church, but the church. "And we have the doctrines of life and salvation, all the honest in heart in all the world. Who else has got it? Is it to be found in the creeds of Christendom? It is not.
And this goes back to the teaching that Mormons still hold today, of course, that regarding what they call the great apostasy. In the book of Matthew, Jesus makes a very profound statement when it comes to the church being able to withstand any types of pressures to try to make it succumb. And what did Jesus say in that passage?
He's talking to Peter in Matthew 16, and verse 18. He says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
But what did Orson Pratt say in 1870? Mormon Apostle Orson Pratt on April 10th, 1870. This can be found in volume 13, page 125 of the Journal of Discourses.
This is what it says in volume 13. Jesus made his appearance on the earth in the meridian of time, and he established his kingdom on the earth. But to fulfill ancient prophecies, the Lord suffered that kingdom to be uprooted. In other words, the kingdoms of this world made war against the kingdoms of God, established 18 centuries ago, and they prevailed against it, and the kingdom ceased to exist. That sounds contradictory to what Jesus said.
Yeah, I don't understand how that was predicted. I mean, it sounds like Jesus made it very clear that his church would prevail. But of course, Mormonism has to teach that it did not prevail in order to bring in or usher in the restored gospel as they understand it. As B.H. Roberts said, if there was not a complete apostasy of the Christian religion, there would be no need for the Mormon church to exist. Now, this has been a theme of Mormonism ever since the beginning. And this is one of the reasons why I personally, as a Christian, have difficulty when Mormons think that I should somehow join hands in some type of fellowship with Latter-day Saints. I refuse to join hands with someone who thinks I'm an apostate or who thinks that I'm a part of some great apostasy. I just can't in good conscience do that. It doesn't mean that I don't like the Mormon people. I just can't in good conscience join hands in fellowship with them because of that premise that they tend to hold towards me and others within the Christian community. Some Mormons might not have a problem with that. Some may. It's up to the individual.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.